This morning to the book of Luke, chapter number 13, the gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 13. I'll last begin reading in verse number 1, and we'll read down through verse number 9. And here the Lord says, there were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus answering said unto them, suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all the Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell ye, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower in Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell ye, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. And he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down, why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Father, we thank you today that we have this opportunity that we can come and this morning preach your word, that we can learn and study and find from you the revelation that we need in our lives. And we ask you this morning, Lord, as we endeavor to tell this thy people the truth of thy word, Father, that you might this morning give us the unction of the Holy Spirit, that you might anoint us with the power from on high, that might do for us today which only you can do. And for all that's said and all that's done, we'll praise you through eternity. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen and amen. Tragedies surround us this morning. I read this morning in the paper that there was another shooting in a mall in our nation. We've, of course, had a school shootings. They're seemingly becoming more prevalent around the country. We have terrorist attacks taking place and automobile accidents and all kinds of tragedies that befall us this morning. And yet I wonder sometime, what do you say to those whose lives this morning are torn asunder in these kind of tragedies? What do you tell the parents and the grandparents of those children who were shot in a school shooting? What would you say to those that were shot in a mall? What do you say to one that was struck by a drunken driver and killed in an automobile accident this morning? This morning I was turned the television on for a few moments, and I was listening to some folks preach on television, and one preacher was talking about finances and how that you need to get your finances in order, and was giving a lot of practical advice about budgets and all of those different things to have your finances in order. And I thought, well, that probably wouldn't be what the people that involved in these kind of tragedies need to hear. I heard another one, and he was talking about how that God was about to rain blessings upon everyone, and your best life was about to begin. Another one wanted you to send him money so that you might be blessed in your life. Another come on and said the reason you weren't blessed is because you had a lack of faith, and the reason these things happened, you did not have enough faith in God. But what would you really say this morning to those individuals? Several years ago, I read a sermon by Charles Haddon Spurgeon, that prince of preachers, on this particular text I've read in your hearing this morning, and he called it accidents, not punishments. Now, to be fair with you this morning, Charles Spurgeon is far, far ahead of me. My little mind this morning cannot keep up with the depths of his thoughts. But I thought about that as I read this scripture again today. And this morning I begin to look at it today as Jesus here in our text today and in the context of our text. Here were people coming to Jesus, and they were talking about events that had taken place in their day. They are no different in a lot of ways than you and I are today. They did not have many of the much of the technology that we have, but they had heard about all of these different events, and they would gather and talk and converse about them and try to figure out all the answers and solutions. And I believe here as they come to Jesus this morning and they begin to ask him about those that Pilate had killed and mingled their own blood with the sacrifices to the Almighty this morning, that they were trying to draw Jesus in and have him begin to talk about politics. That if he sided with Pilate, that then the Jews would accuse him of blasphemy, and if he sided with the Jews, they could bring it to Pilate and have him tried for treason this morning. But you know, Jesus today, as he looked and listened to these people, then he turned around and he made what you and I need to really realize about the things that happen in our world this morning. Jesus turns around and begins this morning to use the same words upon them. And he was going to make them, and he also makes us this morning, focus our own lives today and look at our own humanity in face of the things that are transpiring in our world. We find here this morning that in the face of all of these tragedies and this tragedy that they reminded Jesus of, he made them think of their own humanity and think of their own lives. And this morning as we look across our world and we see the things that are happening in our world, we need to focus this morning. And Jesus would, I believe, have us focus our own lives today and on our own humanity. I believe the first thing that he teaches us here this morning is that tragedies are a fact of life. Tragedies are a fact of life. These things happen. They're going to happen. They've happened down through the centuries. And we this morning can look and see and read history, and this morning we can realize today that tragedies are simply a very real fact of life. I believe this morning that if you study tragedies, you can find that, as Jesus will tell us here, that they are this morning, and they're basically three categories of the tragedies of life. There are those tragedies this morning that come about because of human depravity. Human depravity. Pilate here in our text this morning is an example of human depravity. You see, this morning Pilate did not care for the religion of the Jews. Pilate did not care about anything but Pilate, to be fair with you, this morning, and advancing his career. And many things that you can study from reading the works of Josephus, a great Jewish historian, and it seems that as Pilate came into the temple and took away money that from the temple to finance some government projects that he was undergoing, that the Jews began to get really angry, and they began to protest, and so Pilate sent soldiers in amongst them and slew them and mingled their blood as they were worshiping God. And it was a human depravity this morning that would take an innocent human life today. But you see, this morning, as we think about human depravity, and we are totally depraved this morning, it doesn't mean that we're as bad as we could be and that every human today is going to do things that other people do. But as we sometimes listen to accounts of all the things that happen and we wonder how in the world could these individuals do the things that they do, it's very simple this morning. They're tainted by sin. Every area of our life today has been tainted by sin this morning, and it's really controlled by the lusts and the desires of the flesh today. Our lives this morning are tainted by sin. And this morning, when we see people do harmful and very wicked things in life today, we need to realize this morning that it's simply a mark. It's this morning an example. It points out the great illustration of the truth of the depraved humanity this morning. Humanity is depraved. Time we see a murder this morning, we see these individuals that shoot these individuals in our schools, and we see that, and when they walk into a mall and begin to open fire, or they walk into an office building and begin to shoot. And many times we hear about all of the things that they went through and some of the things that happened to them in their life that caused this morning. Let me tell you exactly what caused it this morning. It's because their heart is depraved before God. And they've been tainted by sin. And they're controlled by the lust and the desires of the flesh this morning. And human depravity this morning brings about many of the tragedies that we see in our life today. When we read about the tragedy of a drunk driver running into an individual and killing that individual or individuals this morning. And we wonder, why did they do that? Because this morning they're under the control of the lust and the desires, and they're depraved this morning. They care about nothing more than putting another drink in their body. And they this morning get out on a highway and they care not this morning that they might kill somebody. It's depravity today. We see and see dishonest thieves, and we see people who have stolen people's retirement funds and left them destitute. And we say, how could this individual do that? Depravity. We see corrupt bureaucrats and politicians this morning. We see priests who abuse those upon their charge today. We read about preachers today who do many awful and terrible things. And we look around us today, and everywhere we can turn, we can read in our newspapers, we can look into our jail systems, into our justice system. We can look today all around us and see examples of the human depravity and how that man has been tainted by sins and how the tragedies are occurring this morning because of human depravity. There's another category this morning of tragedies, and that this morning very simply natural disasters. We see hurricanes and tornadoes and earthquakes and tsunamis and floods. And if you read your insurance policy correctly, and as you begin to study insurance, you'll find that many of these things are deemed and called acts of God. You see, we live in a fallen world today. A world this morning that's been tainted. Sin has tainted not just the human mind and the human heart, but sin has tainted our entire world. Paul tells us in the book of Romans that creation this morning, even all that we see about us today, is groaning for the time of redemption, the time that Jesus will return again. And every time we hear the wind blow and we hear the trees groaning in the wind, and we see all the things that are taking place in the creation of our world today, then we can realize that many of these natural disasters are coming about today. And they're causing tragedies all around us. I read this week up in one of the northern states, I believe it was Indiana, I might be wrong on that, but there was an automobile accident. 47 vehicles, I believe, were involved in an accident up on a highway caused by ice and snow and all that it was taking place up in our northern states. Many injured, and I'm sure some were, I read where some were killed. And we see all of these natural disasters taking place. We see all the lives are being lost. We read about and we are experienced Hurricane Katrina. We know about the tornado that hit and destroyed Smithville. We know today about the earthquakes that rack Haiti, and we can see all of these things, and we say, that's a tragedy. And it's brought about by a natural disaster, by creation today that's in need and groaning for redemption. I believe this morning we also have the world of human deficiencies. Jesus here talked about the Tower of Siloam. You ever thought that whatever man builds breaks? You remember the Titanic? But think a little closer to home. You go down to the automobile dealership and you look and shop, and finally you've decided to buy you a brand new automobile, and you buy you a brand new car. You bring it home, and a few weeks later, a month later, 2 months later, you get a little piece of mail, and it says, hey, your automobile's got a defect. You got to bring it back in and get it fixed. Why? Because some human built it, and it's now deficient. And we see everything going on, and we think this morning, hey, we're not perfect. You see, bridges collapse. We read about people driving out on a bridge, and suddenly there's no bridge there, and they plummet to their death or serious injury this morning. We read about airplanes crashing. We read about towers falling. We read about buildings that collapse. And you see, we need to realize this morning that whatever man builds can break. Like the fellow that got on the airplane. As he sat down on the airplane, there came an announcement over the loudspeaker. And he said, this airplane is completely controlled by electronics. It has no humans to fly the plane. Everything has been done to ensure your safety. And therefore, because there will be no human error, nothing can go wrong. You see, this morning, everything that we build, everything that's built by humanity will and can break today. These three categories, and here were people were talking, and you know, as you read this story, it just seems like I'm reading the newspaper. And they're coming to Jesus, and as these people are talking, they're thinking, you know, we need to do something about these people like Pilate in our government. We need to get rid of them. We need to protest. We need to carry him to court. We need to do this and we need to do the other. We need to reinvestigate, and we need to make some more code so that buildings can't fall, and we need to make sure they're using the right materials and the quality of workmanship is up to par. And we need this morning to legislate some more regulations, and this is what we need to do. We need to take guns away from people. We need to this morning to do this, and we need to do the other, and we spend millions upon millions and billions upon billions of dollars trying to solve these problems when, to be honest with you, tragedies are a fact of life, have been down through the centuries. And as Charles Spurgeon, I remember saying in his sermon, he said, and he preached the sermon after two trains had collided, two steam engines, and he said, if the steam engine has never been invented, things would still happen. Tragedies are a fact of life. And you see, Jesus this morning, as they try to draw him in, he's simply saying to them that very simple fact. Tragedies are a fact of life. But then he makes another point very quickly this morning. He says, life is fragile for all. Not just those who were murdered. Not just those who were killed in the Tower of Siloam. Not this morning those who perished in an earthquake. Not just those who this morning lost their lives in an accident, but to us all. He said that, do you suppose that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans? Do you suppose that these men were sinners above all that were in Jerusalem? You see, he makes us stop and think this morning that life is fragile for each of us this morning. I doubt very seriously if any of you, when you got in your automobile this morning, expected to be in a fatal accident before you returned home this morning. I doubt very seriously if anyone gets in their automobile expecting to die in a very fatal and tragic accident, but it happens every day. Very few people go to the beach expecting a tidal wave or a shark attack. Very few people go to an amusement park expecting the ride to collapse and kill those upon the ride. Very few people this morning go to a mall expecting to be shot. Very few people get up and go to work in the morning thinking a deranged individual might come in and kill them all. But it happens. And Jesus is saying, if it happened here, it could happen anywhere at any time. You see, this morning, our life hangs by a slender thread. We read about people and we hear about people, and we have many people on our prayer list, and many are sick with various diseases and problems, and we never minimize that. And we think their life is hanging by a slender thread. But let me remind you what Jesus is saying this morning. All of our lives are hanging by a very slender thread. In James chapter 4, at verse number 14, there James reminds us in very potent words, very powerful words this morning about our lives and how that this morning they're hanging by a very slender thread. He said, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? What is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. Our life is hanging by a very slender thread. We know not what shall happen on the morrow. Our life this morning is like the morning fog. It's here for a short period of time, and then it simply vanishes away. Life is a very fragile thing. And God gives us great instructions in Psalms chapter number 90 and verses 10 and 12 of these things, writing through the psalmist. And he says, I'll get there in just a second. And what he says, the days of our years are 70 years. I'm approaching that. Some of you are already past it. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. I never thought about getting this old. Now it don't seem old. But my life is quickly going away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger? Even according to thy fear, so is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. We better realize this morning, as he says then in verse 9, for all of our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Life is fragile. It doesn't last forever. And it applies to all of us. I pray and I hope that none of us is killed in a shooting, an accident, or any other kind of tragedy, but we never know, do we? Life is fragile, Jesus said, and it applies to all. He was saying to those people of his day, hey, you think you're better than they were? You think it couldn't happen to you? Well, it could. And he's saying that same thing to you and I this morning, and to all of humanity. And lastly, the priority of life is to get right with God and be ready to die. Right. Somebody says that's a little morbid. Well, I want to tell you something this morning. If you don't do anything else in life, if you never accomplish anything else today, but to get ready and be ready to die at a moment's notice, because you see everything else today, you accomplish everything else this morning you do won't amount to anything. Because if you fail to get right and be ready to die, all else is vain. You can gain the whole world, and if you lose your own soul, what have you profited? You see, Jesus makes a confrontation with them here, and he says, you think that they were sinners above everybody else? You think that they were worse than you? He said, what you need to understand is that you better repent yourselves. You better get right yourselves this morning. Three people die every second is what statistics tell us. That's 180 per minute. Are we ready to die? Are you right with God and ready to die?
Amen.
You see, Jesus ended his sermon with a parable. A parable about a fig tree that a man came to and said, I've been coming 3 years, it has no fruit. And he told the wine dresser, he said, cut down the fig tree, it's no good. And the man said, wait a minute, let me dig around it and put some fertilizer around it and come back next year, and if it hadn't produced any fruit, then we'll cut it down. Somebody said, what happened the next year? That's the reason Jesus ended this sermon. You see, he was saying to those individuals, I'll give you the opportunity. He gave the tree the opportunity to produce fruit. And he said, now the Holy Spirit is giving you the opportunity to repent. The Holy Spirit is giving you the opportunity to get right. The Holy Spirit is saying to you, you better get right, because you could be cut down this morning. Get right and be ready to die. That's the greatest advice I could give anybody this morning. No matter who you are or where you go, where you live, what your occupation is, whether you're a man, woman, boy, or girl, get right and be ready to die at a moment's notice. After the 9/11 tragedy, I read that a man in one of the towers knew he was about to die. Had no opportunity to use a telephone. And so he sat down at his computer and he composed a very quick email. And he sent it to his son. And he said, son, I love you. I'm about to pass from this walk of life. I'll see you in heaven. Love, Dad. And he hit the key and he got the email out before the power was completely gone. This morning, if tragedy arrives, will we see you in heaven?
Amen.
Tragedies are a fact of life, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know what's going to happen. And it's all going to affect and confect any of us at any time. And a great priority this morning is get right with God and be ready to die. I hope that I can see you in heaven. As we stand together, Brother Bruce and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time we've been together. Lord, I ask you to take this very simple message. Use it for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. Prepare our hearts today to meet you in Jesus' name. Amen.